guys. What's going on?
Hey,
Jimmy.
Hey.
Daniel's back. What's going on?
Good to be back, boys.
How we feeling?
Yeah, feeling a little bit better.
Yeah.
Could be better again.
80%? 80%?
Yeah, 70.
Centanove?
Yeah.
Centanove percento?
Yeah, 109%.
Man, what a big weekend.
Oh, no,
seriously.
It's been huge.
And like double header.
Yeah.
You know, it's the double header again.
We've been treated.
I know, it's amazing. And we're gonna go through obviously MotoGP.
Huge episode coming,
yeah,
listeners.
MotoGP Assen, F1 in Austria. Probably one of the races of the year for incidents as well.
Yeah, that's right. Probably one of the first races F1's actually been more exciting than MotoGP, which is incredible.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, MotoGP is an interesting spot at the moment. It just looks like Bagnaia has just taken the reins, and yeah, I don't know who can stop him.
MotoGP, you're on fraud watch. The organization's on fraud watch.
before we get into that, I just want to say,
thought
you know,
we got more reaction out of you from that one.
We're proudly supported by MJ Trading Cards, James, and that's the most important thing about the podcast.
That is,
so
right.
Please, guys, jump on board MSR15 for 15% off the first order. Awesome card breaking business, isn't it?
Yeah.
So all the boys, a couple of supporters have been in touch with us. They've jumped on board. So
yeah, got a few of them.
MJ Trading Cards does an average of 10 to 15 breaks a day. Breaks including NBA, NFL, and soon to be motorsport as well. So Get around it.
I love it. They're doing a Max Verstappen card or Red Bull card, you're
saying? Signed Max Verstappen cards floating around. So that's the kind of thing. You can buy a pack. They read it out live on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. You might score a ripper card. So
MSR 15.
15% off your first order.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So jump on board, guys. Really appreciate the support.
That's all right. And check out, we are doing our Patreon. Hopefully be up next week. There's going to be some crazy kits we're all going to be in. It's going to be an unhinged episode that is basically, you know, there's just no filters whatsoever. We're going to be
politically incorrect
like we are normally in our group chat. So it's basically that.
How do the listeners find that, James?
Patreon app.
Okay, beautiful.
So we'll upload it, depending on all the uploads, it'll be sometime next week, but check it out. It's going to be very funny. If you're able to watch it, because it will be very funny. We'll all be dressed up.
And when will the first ep be out?
Sometime next week. Just depends on the upload. So we'll be filming it this weekend.
Beautiful.
We'll give a bit of a teaser to everyone and jump on board. And yeah, it'll be good. And we'll look into film a Patreon episode, I reckon, once a month anyway, and have a bit of fun with it. Something that, you know, We've been caught up a few times in YouTube and Spotify, so this will be the stuff that definitely gets all the way through. So
yeah, we'll call this as our family friendly show, we can say. Yeah. We still, you know, talk about the some topics that no one else likes to talk about, and then we've got our uncut show. So
I was talking to my old man on the way here, and I'm like, oh, we're doing this Patreon app, and I'm like, it's a bit more of an unhinged. He's like, unhinged? Your episode's now pretty loose. I'm like, yeah, well, this one's going to be even worse. So.
Well, we're a professional organisation, so we have to cater for both needs,
yeah.
And I think that's a good way of doing it. So.
Yeah, that's right. So it'll be fun. We'll run through, obviously, the season so far and all our thoughts and MotoGP and F1 and a few other fun ideas we've got going, so. A couple of beers to be had, so sit down on the couch, crack open a couple of beers or a vodka soda, or smoke a joint or just a glass of water or Coke Zero or something, whatever. We'll be in your living room spitting some facts.
Yeah, I definitely won't be drinking water, but that's leave that to Gertie.
Put it straight into the veins, Gertie. Grab the mic.
He'll warm up.
He's like an old diesel engine. You gotta let it cold start for a couple.
Let the glow plugs go off.
So let's jump back on the MotoGP. So, like, guys, I mean, who's gonna stop the BB? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I put up a Instagram story today, and Pecco Bagnaia. I think we should just go straight into our MJ Performance Trading Cards of the Week, because he was cheeseburger-esque, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And just like one mistake all weekend. I didn't see one.
No, I don't think I saw one.
Topping free practice one, first time in his career in the MotoGP.
Yeah.
First time ever. I mean, that's just because he pretty much topped every session.
I think he topped.
Except for warm-up.
Was it just warm-up? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So
pretty
Chris,
crazy.
Chris Sepps, big fan of the pod, big fan of Bagnaia.
Yeah, my phone was buzzing. It was just his name the whole time. Number one ticket holder. So, yes, we are acknowledging that he's good.
He is good. And he is the MJ Trading Cards Performance of the Week. And that's the ultimate acknowledgement.
That is. That is. It's that and being the number one ticket holder on this podcast is the two ultimates you can get.
Yeah. Well, Dingleberry hand...
hand pump, 46.
He's off. He doesn't like us anymore.
He was number one, but yeah, he's going back to the
village. So who's going to fill that spot? We'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks.
That's right. Oh, and also, just to add on to our Patreon, we are going to be doing a giveaway. Our favorite hot take is going to be getting, we'll make sure we'll put out a post for our Patreon. Our favorite hot take gets a Motorsport Republica bundle pack, and it's actually going to have some cool stuff in it as well. So send in some, it can be anonymous if you like as well, but our favorite ones.
And anything. I want a hot take on anything.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be about Motorsport.
No. It can be literally about anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, anyway, Pecco's domination, boys. What do you guys actually think?
That was scary for everyone else, I think. It was. I haven't seen that from him, I don't think, ever. It was amazing to see someone do that. I haven't seen it in GP for a while now. And
yeah,
I think just the way he went about the weekend, he looked relaxed coming back off this break and just flat out dominated. Didn't even give anyone a sniff.
Not even. Like, he just...
didn't give him half a chance.
And the thing is Martin arguably had just as good as a weekend, but he was still, like, so far off the pace, bar qualifying.
Yeah, it's super interesting. Martin, like, got within a second and then, boom, fastest lap. Bagnaia got within a second, boom, fast. He was just controlling the pace the whole race.
It's just cheeseburger-esque, though.
It is. Just super unfortunate that this has to happen for us, because we do look at it as not as exciting.
Mm.
But you just have to appreciate the dominance.
Yeah. The craft.
And it was brewing as well, Daniel. Brewing over the last few weekends. Like, he's shown some dominance and he's just put it all together over the weekend. So
yeah, and I think we said this early doors this year is that, come Europe, he's going to be a tough one to beat. So
the cream, it's always the cream rising to the top.
It is, and he's that guy. He's been that guy for the last two rounds. Next round will be a lot different, but it's hard to look past him at the moment. And none of us tipped him for the win. A lot of people gave us a bit of shit about that.
But. I know. I just need to pick him every week now. I don't know why. There's no point not picking him. But then we've got Saxon Ring coming up, and it's like, how do you not go past Marquez? But
I'll go past him.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
Yeah, so what's the go, James? Can you talk us through Marquez with this? I mean, I kind of felt like it was super ridiculous, him letting Didier through, pointing and saying, like, I'll follow you. Like, run through what happened.
Credit where credit's due with Simon Crafar, because no one knew what was going on. The commentators didn't know. Like, I realistically thought it was going to be... it would have been him. Like, he thought it was a something on his dash came up. Sorry, I had to get it out. It took a while. something on his dash came up, like a penalty or whatever, have to give a place back. And then that's what he thought he saw.
Yeah.
But it was a tyre pressure issue, and he couldn't lead out front.
What I was listening to Simon, I'm like, this is kind of ridiculous. The bike telling him that he has to pull back underneath Digia to get his tire, like, it's got too advanced for me. It's too ridiculous.
It's like, too much. Like, just let the races race.
Race. I know. It just doesn't make sense. Like, I was super, like, disappointed. I mean, that's in the middle of the race, letting someone through.
Yeah.
That should never happen.
It's not racing.
No, it's not racing. And, like, because he saw his tire pressures were...
And it's just it's been inflated again because it happened to Marc Marquez.
And then Marquez was going for the lead. I think it was about lap 18. He could have led, and then they both didn't want to lead.
And then
Vinales came through. I mean, that's not right. Like, that's not racing. And it's super disappointing. Like, they have to really look at that rule. I mean, I don't know what they can do, but they have to really
Michelin.
Look at that.
Michelin has to back their tires more. That's what it is.
That's right.
It's a Michelin thing.
Mm. There's new tires coming from all reports.
Oh, really?
2026 is going to have a new tire compound.
Compounds.
Yeah. So we super. Hopefully they can fix
this.
They
need it. They need to do something because, like, just let them race. Seriously.
Mm.
And obviously, they must have. Is it Daniel? They put their tire pressures down too low from the start. Is that what it is?
I think something like that. They try and calculate it. I think Frankie Carchetti said they came out and calculated and it should have been right. But then the way that the race panned out, and then obviously getting pushed off later towards the race with Bastianini as well, that didn't help it. So, yeah, they try and cater for it, but you're never going to know. And it happened to Gigi last year at the end of the year.
Yeah, it did.
Like, they've changed the penalty now from a DQ to 16 yeah, seconds.
Harsh? Is that harsh? 16 seconds for 0.01? 16 seconds
is probably harsh.
I think that's pretty
probably
harsh.
Probably 10. Even 10's harsh.
I would have said 5.
What's a 16-second penalty? Is that a ride-through penalty calculation? Like, why is it 16? Do we know?
MotoGP probably just would have made it up.
Yeah, exactly right.
They would have got a dartboard and thrown the dart. And the, which it never allows them, will give the penalty.
Exactly. Yeah, that's right. And you know what's funny as well is like there was all these... I hate reading comments, but sometimes I can't help. But it's like we've gone full circle again where Aneo punted... Didn't even punt Marquez. It was just a move. And I think anyone... races racer we'll just know it's just a move.
Yeah,
but then all the comments were like, oh, they're only just protecting the Italians now. And I'm like, 2 weeks ago it was the Spanish mafia, like, yeah, what are you guys doing? Yeah, it's just full circle.
It is. Yeah,
it was great. It was a good move though, and credit to Bastianini. What a master on tire wear.
Yeah, I
he
know
he just can't qualify,
man. Like, that's what's so frustrating about him. Like, I just don't understand. It's like watching Vinales, you know, off the start. Like, it's those little things. You're just going to be a complete rider.
Yeah, you can't. You got to be. Yeah, it's right. You got to be a complete package.
And for him to be the fastest in the last five laps, but he's qualifying 11th, 13th, like.
And he's, he
puts it all together, and it's a different ball game.
I know. Like Marquez said, it was like he went past on fresh tires. You know, like, obviously there's a combination of, and we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. A combination of he's super good on the tires, but he's super fast on worn tires, which is a massive skill.
Massive.
But just put it like second row, you know?
Yeah.
Put it up to the second row and you'll have a chance of winning. Like, we saw that in Malaysia last year. He qualified up there. He controlled the pace with obviously a bit of aero and then won the race. So,
in the world's most boring race, that one.
That was
it. Wasn't it ever?
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. I tell you what, though, Pecco's got his start dialed. Like, there was no one even touching him off the start line.
Perfect weekend, man. He didn't see someone's wheel.
No, he led every lap.
He qualified by himself, no tow. He raced sprint race. He raced the main race. And he didn't see someone's back wheel the whole weekend. Mm. And that's how you should be. That's a great example to the younger guys coming through Moto3, Moto2. Just go and do it yourself. You know?
That's all right.
Don't get like Martin gets caught up in the pack and then gives away
a pack of like eight.
And gives away the penalty because he was slow on the racing line. Like, man,
yeah, just silly little mistakes.
It's going to cost you a world championship. So...
100%.
Yeah, it was wild. It's just, do we think the bikes have outgrown Assen at the moment with the aero? Because they're struggling the past.
But there was a bit of a hot take we got sent in that, I mean, we might go through that later. I might be spoiling that. But, I mean, I don't think so. I don't think, like, we're going to be in Sachsenring this weekend.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Like, talk about outgrowing a track. I mean.
Yeah, that's all right.
But no, I think the racing was still there. I think it was still exciting.
It's still exciting.
You do need a longer straight to make it.
Yeah, somewhere there you do.
And it used to be. Remember the old track?
Yeah.
The front straight was like nearly double the length.
Mm.
Apparently that old track's insane, but like I was looking at like track layouts and it's a massive longer straight and then sort of like a right-hander, 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 then hairpins onto the back straight. So.
Yeah, right.
But there was like old footage of the 500cc's back then, like looked unbelievable.
Yeah, I think Crafer was talking about his lap where he just got outshunned by Mick Doohan in qualifying.
Oh, yeah.
Like by, you know, two to half a second or whatever. Right? Yeah. He did like the best lap of his life and then Mick Doohan came in, did his lap and then he like congratulated Mick Doohan in the pits and he's like, oh, Mick was filthy with me because he's like, you had to make me really ride hard and risk everything for this one lap.
That's awesome.
That's so good.
Talk about Acosta, last lap, crashing, no pressure. Like, what happened? How does that happen?
I think a bit silly tire choice maybe.
Standard KTM riders.
He had like four corners left and like, it was like Bagnaia.
It was a big crash.
Yeah.
There was a couple massive crashes through the weekend.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, fractured his finger in his right hand.
Yeah.
He's
that's just the helicopter everyone going over.
Sorry, we're in the hangar here. We do have to apologize. We've got a little bit of background noise tonight, but we'll hopefully rectify that for next week.
That's so crazy.
I just felt like that was a real rookie error.
Yeah.
You know, he had no pressure around him. There's no one chasing him. He had no one in front of him.
Nah.
And he crashes, you know.
Well, he's a rookie.
He is. Yeah. I mean,
you can forgive him.
And what a turnaround for him from sprint to main race. He was nowhere in the sprint and then turned it around. So that shows a lot of talent and, you know, obviously looked at some data and different tire choices and that sort of thing. So
he's had a strong start to the year and maybe just tapered off a bit, but that's okay for being a rookie on a gas bike.
Yeah, that's right. It's expected anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Even though he's a wonder kid, you know, there's still going to be some chinks in the armour.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's our result, sorry?
Yeah, sorry for the listeners at home who only listen to Motorsport Republica for their full motorsport racing experience.
Don't worry about anyone else, all right? Just to us.
Race result. I'll go through sprint results first. Sprint race, Pecco Bagnaia, Jorge Martin, Maverick Vinales, Enea Bastianini, Fabio Di Gianantonio, Brad Binder, Fabio Quartararo, Alex Marquez, Franco Morbidelli, and Pedro Acosta. That rounds out your top 10.
I mean, he's still stuck into the 10. I thought he was worse than that in the sprint, but...
Main race, Francesco Bagnaia, Jorge Martin, Enea Bastianini, Fabio Di Gianantonio, Maverick Vinales, Brad Binder, Alex Marquez, Raul Fernandez, Franco Morbidelli, and Marc Marquez, 10th after his 16-second penalty.
Rough. Hey, did you? Criminally underrated.
I reckon Aprilia's made the wrong choice.
So people have said that.
Yeah, but he did destroy the tyres at the end.
Well, he didn't crash for the past six races
He's actually... I reckon he's 100%. Belted Bezzecchi from pillar to post.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Straight out.
But Bez is almost like that stage where he's giving up. Like, I think...
Well, you can't.
Yeah, but you can't, though.
I know.
You can't be like that.
You can't do a one mirror and just crash halfway to the corner, like you're saying.
Digi's the only guy with Marquez that can actually ride that bike.
Correct.
Like, Alex is doing okay.
He actually had a good weekend, Alex.
He did.
And signed a new deal, two-year deal as well.
Yeah, breaking news.
But... yeah, I don't know, man. I still think they might have missed the mark there.
When Bez crashed, like, it wasn't a rush to get back on the bike. He crashed, got up and goes, all right, I better strong like, run away and try to pick the bike up. He's like, oh, I can't get it. It's like Wild Mirror.
I was going to say.
I'm losing front end.
He's learned off the Honda boys. Yes.
Yeah. But bro, how was the Hondas, like, Wild Mirror crash? And then, like
death taxes,
and
man.
Then a minute and a half later, fucking
Luca Marini runs off.
Crash.
Death taxes.
We're not even going to talk about Honda. We're not even talking about them because it's a failure of a motorsport company, and we're not even going to worry about it because how terrible they are going is just disgusting.
It's never seen anything like. Not even in Ducati's worst were they this bad.
It's got to be the biggest fall of grace in motorsport history. I'm going to say.
Wow, yeah, just about
losing the major sponsor they've ever had, and then losing the plot with their bike. I mean, it's just crazy.
It's pretty insane.
It is. But going back to it, Daniel, you're right. Results right now, they're on the same bike. From what they say, people are going to say Bez will suit his riding, but he's got to come out strong next year on that Aprilia.
No, 100%. Otherwise, he's going to lose his ride.
Yeah,
I think De Gea is making a good case to stay in the class as well.
They should re-sign him for VR46. Well, he needs a factory seat. He's good enough to be a factory rider.
So the talk is with Pramac moving to Yamaha. Big dog Paolo Campanotti's come out.
Oh, he's a big dog, all
he's
right.
He's a big unit.
Fucking gold chain
center. Oh, yeah.
And he was saying, so he actually fired a few shots. He was saying that Ducati no longer believe in their youth.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And I'm like, you know what, that's actually a fair shout because I think they've really derailed their whole situation. Mm. Like, they were in a really good spot. Now, they've lost a lot of riders to really strong manufacturers, so... anyway, he's come out. He said he made his decision after the Mugello race when Bastianini passed Martin and they were celebrating like wild. I don't necessarily agree with that. Of course you're going to celebrate your own team.
Of course.
But anyway, 7-year deal and they're close to signing Digia.
On the Yamaha.
Mm.
I think he needs to be on a better bike, Digia. I'm scared he will just ride that Yamaha, money, but he'll just be forgotten.
Potentially, but who knows? They're seeming to come through with a lot more upgrades.
They're
throwing money at it. They're throwing stuff behind
good.
It.
They're doing good. They're Yamaha doing better.
Way, but like we're doing so much more. I heard we've got Unoni maybe.
He's gonna test for
test
them.
Test a Yamaha.
But really?
Yeah. They're not gonna sign him yet. It's gonna be factory backed. So fully
factory.
All identical 2025 bikes next year. But he did come out and say he's going to lose a lot of financial backing and sponsors.
Paolo?
Yep.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Interesting.
So it's obviously a decision that they haven't taken lightly, but seems to be the best for them. And fair play. Someone had to do it, and it's great for the sport.
Yeah, I think...
It's great for the sport. Yeah. Great for Yamaha. It needs to be done. There still needs to be one less Ducati team, personally, I think. I think there should be two each. But...
I'm happy with six. I'm okay with six.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
It's heaps better, that's for sure.
Really interesting point, Daniel, you make. And the other thing was, like, with Yamaha, with Paolo Campionati going for Yamaha, it gives him that, as you said, it gives him that factory backing, that support. And I think that's what obviously killed him the last couple of weeks, seeing that move. And I really think Toprak's going to go to that team. I really think he makes sense for him to go to Pramac Yamaha.
Who would go with him, Tom? You reckon? Digia, like as you were saying?
Yeah, I think Digia and Toprak, like, what a team. What an exciting team. What an exciting prospect.
It is exciting.
Yeah, I think I read somewhere, and I could be very wrong, that Toprak can only leave, but if he wins the world championship, he can leave, like, free reign. He can break his contract. But if not, he's got to it's like a buyout or something.
Okay,
like that.
What about Digia? I'm assuming VR46 are going to take those two factory bikes, yeah?
That looks like it's going to happen.
You would assume so. Yeah.
If you're Digia, you'd rather be on the VR46 factory Ducati, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but you don't know the changes coming up with the new regs, like going to 800cc. Yamaha might...
That's a big gamble,
though. Yeah, I know, but they could.
Yeah, like, but you know what? It's not a bloody bad gamble to take.
You got to remember
you're
that...
You're right. It is not a bad
like
gamble
going from
to take.
We're going from 1,000 to 800. They got the inline 4 versus the V4. They could develop something different.
Yeah, true.
And they've been there before.
Yeah. It's still a couple of years away at the same time. Like, you can still sign a two-year contract.
Yeah, exactly.
25, 26.
Yeah.
You know, because that factory... I would, if I'm VR46, I'd be signing Digia over Franco Morbidelli all day, every day.
Yeah, but he's part of the La Familia, but that's the thing. You know what they're like. They like their own, you know what I'm saying?
And that's, so that's the but that's the biggest thing, right? Like, that's where he loses out. He's not in the clique.
Like,
so it will be hard for him.
But Morbidelli showed some stuff this weekend as well. I know, like, we keep saying that, but
he has been better.
He was there or thereabouts.
For a guy that hasn't been able to test the bike properly.
And keeps falling up.
Yeah.
He's going to fall up onto a factory VR46 bike.
But yeah, moving away from DGF for a sec, just back to Pecco, 30.4 seconds quicker than last year's race.
Yeah, what's the go there? How are they so much quicker?
Either 24s, I should say, that much better.
Yeah, but they're seeming to be. They're really showing now. Like, they're really... Because there's always little niggles at the start. Mm. And once you dial in the setup and all that kind of stuff, it's...
But they set up Mugello that Alex Rins finished 14th and he would have won the 2023 race. Like, how are they so much quicker this year?
I don't get it either.
Like, poor Alex Rins, just be ready to duck. He might fall down from the moon soon.
Yeah, he's actually clinging onto the space station
I was watching that and thinking, that yellow flag's been out for a while. Has he moved?
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
I got worried for a sec.
Mm. When I saw him like floating through slow motion. I was like hands on heads, like, oh my God.
We haven't seen
I thought it was Quartararo first.
So did
well.
I. was like, shit, Fabio. I was like jumping out of my chair, like, no.
We haven't seen one of them for a while. I think the last one would have been Bags at Catalunya last year, maybe.
And it was very much reminiscent of that.
Yeah, it was. Starts, you know, first corner.
Cold tires. Unlike a Yamaha thing to do is spit you off on an inline 4.
It's been a long time since one of them spat someone off.
Normally it's Hondas.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a massive, massive sack. But I think he fractured his foot. I believe he's back in Spain.
Yeah, I saw that.
To get some more medical examinations.
That's so unfortunate for Rins, because he's already just come back off of breaking his leg last year, wasn't it?
The year before, possibly.
Yeah, it looked like a lot, Honda, sorry.
It looked like a big impact on one of his... I think it was his left leg. It looked...
Yeah.
Awkward landing as well. Like, I mean, there's no good landing coming from down to tarmac from, like, what, 10 feet up.
That was so high, man.
But they're looking to sign him again.
It's a good team. The Yamaha are on the... They're on the mend. Like, look at Honda, like...
And he's a good person to have on that bike. He knows an inline 4. He's won on it. He's been on a competitive package, so... He's a good one to keep around, I think.
Mm. Yeah, Yamaha's on the right track. They are on the right track.
They are.
Dorna need to... switching things here. Dorna need to work out what they're doing with Kazakhstan.
Yeah, what's going on there?
I don't know.
Kazakhstan's on fraud watch as well.
It has to be.
So, Borat didn't sign the paperwork.
So news came out today. They're, from all reports, getting cancelled again. And Qatar's going to replace them for a second race this season. So
you'd be happy with that, Daniel. Qatar's second race.
I love it.
Yeah, that is a good idea. But, like... Man, was it actually flooded? Like, are they just like, are they doing like
a
communist China to us, and they're baking all these stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's going on? Dorna, like, can someone get on the line?
They're
and talk
all
to
on
us?
Fraud Watch at the moment. Yeah, it's just a joke. Like, it's never going to happen.
It just doesn't make sense to me, and I just think they need to scrap it and move on. I mean, the Hungary was supposed to be the reserve race and
Hungaroring.
What's going on there?
Yeah, I know. I don't get it.
It's pretty bad.
It's just a joke.
It is. It's
they
a joke,
and
it's just super disappointing.
And you can't pride yourself on having like the biggest calendar. You know, we're jam packed this year, and then you got 1 3-week break, and then you got another 3-week break.
Right.
Like, come on.
It's actually a laughing stock.
They got it easy.
Yeah,
they got it easy.
So I don't want to see any complaints by the riders when it comes to the Valencia test end of the year. You've had two massive breaks. All right, it's all good.
There'll be another one coming up soon, won't there?
After Saxon Ring, another 3 weeks.
There you go.
Then we head to back through Europe, I think, Aragon or something like that.
Bit of rumour mill, boys. Pod favourite, Manu Gonzalez, to take the seat with Alex Marquez. Mm.
Oh, yeah, Crescini.
Yeah, reports coming out of Italy.
Yeah, right.
That's a good move. That's a really good move. I he's got talent. Like, I think probably the wrong tyre choice. I think he was the only one who went for mediums for Moto2 in the race. So I had him for the win because I thought it might pay off, but James is right again. You just don't gamble on tyres.
Don't gamble on tyres.
Martin actually went for the medium rear. They didn't really speak about that much throughout the race, but yeah,
Martin had a great race. It was just that step down from Bagnaia. He was just on an elite level.
They've got to start playing. Ducati going to start playing with the bike. They're going to have to.
He didn't look happy.
Nah, he
Martin
didn't.
All weekend. He looked like he knew he was screwed.
Yeah, he's got to be, man. Like, you have to. Are they really going to take the number one plate to another?
Nah, no way.
They're not going to let it happen.
You know what it's going to be like? Curtis, Montreal Screwjob, mate. Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels esque.
Yes.
Shawn Michaels spitting in the face of Vince McMahon. Or Bret Hart, sorry.
Come on, get it going. He's warmed up.
If I see fists flying on MotoGP, yeah. We'll say it's
I'll fist you in a minute, Kenny.
No, mate, I don't need that in my life.
Sorry, we'll say that to Patreon.
That was a mic drop, if anyone was wondering.
Hey, Kenny, can you read out the results to 1989 French Grand Prix?
No.
Still my favourite moment in our podcast history, that. He was.
Yeah, first. Oh, he was ninth. Yep, sixth.
That was awesome. That was just simply
and you're beating
awesome.
Yourself up.
Yeah.
But yeah, back on it. And he really looked like a man that knew he wasn't in a good spot.
Nah, no.
He just doesn't look.
I think he just probably knew going into it.
Good post on Instagram, though, looking at socials. Like he said, look, P2 wasn't my weekend, but we've got tracks coming up that I really like.
The flyaways, I think, is going to be where the title's going to be won and lost.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how crazy is Philip Bowling going to be this year? It's really like, that's going to be a melting pot.
It could be. Yeah, it could be. It really could be.
And it was last year when we saw what happened.
You know, all the Asian rounds as well. They always can throw up some weird and wacky results, not just like Europe.
I'm looking forward to seeing Aragon back as well.
Yeah, Aragon back's great.
Great track.
Yeah, yeah. Another underrated track.
Yeah, didn't appreciate it while it was on the calendar.
Nah, same.
Played it on the game a few times and watched some more racing there. And I was like, yeah, great.
There was
track.
A good, that left-hander that Marquez is just dominant at in the back of the circuit.
Yeah, the last two left-handers.
The last corner as well. Yeah. But so is Marquez going to win this weekend?
Ugh, I don't know, man. Like, after seeing Pecco...
Saxonring, though.
I know, it's Saxonring. I don't know. That's the beauty of MotoGP still.
Yeah,
you still don't know. Like, you can still put all your chips on Marquez or Pecco, and then Martin can come through, or... I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
It's an open round, I think, this. It's anyone's race, really. It's going to be a lot tighter. I don't think there's going to be a runaway.
Well, the thing is, the bikes... We talk about how big the bikes are now. Like, to pass, it's just going to be...
It's down the waterfall.
And
that's always
and that was always Rossi's main pass. He was amazing at it back in the day. Down
that first corner's rough as well. It's like off camber, downhill. It's always average. Yeah, it's just an annoying corner.
It's really tight as well.
And the right hander going before the waterfall because they got cold tires.
So
they always lose. I'm a Carlos Checker, I think, lost it and totaled his bike.
Well,
poor old Brent Stevens would have had to fix that one, I reckon, back in the day.
Because they turn right on like the third corner, then they don't turn right again until that spot.
That's all right.
Left hander.
And they're pretty quick through that right hander.
Yeah.
You know what? Doesn't seem like there's a few spots in Sachsenring, I swear, there's not that much runoff.
No, there's some spots where you got to be...
Just before that right-hander, that left-hand on top of that hill, I'm telling you, there's not much runoff there at all.
Marquez hit that last year, didn't he?
Did he?
Well, like, he had like what, six crashes or something?
That
was
when that's when Marquez like knew that was the done. Everyone knew.
Turning point. Yeah.
When we're all watching.
Oh, it was when he flicked the bird at the bike.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the only good thing he's ever done.
That's pretty new.
That should be made into a t-shirt, actually. I'd wear that. That's funny.
True.
That photo. Repsol. Hey, I got a question for you boys. Saturday sprints MotoGP. Should it stay, as in every round? Or should you do? Should it go to an F1 type of style where it's certain rounds?
I don't know. I think I like it for MotoGP. Mm. I don't like it for F1.
Okay.
And we'll touch on this. I'm going to touch on this soon. But I found myself watching the sprint and then going, I can't be fuck watching qualifying. I've already watched my hit of racing.
Because of how they're...
Yeah, I know it's different from F1. Yeah. But I think, it works for MotoGP. And I'm happy for it. And I want it to stay.
Yeah, I think they've got it right.
And it doesn't take much away from the race.
No, it doesn't.
And we thought it was going to take, like, oh, Bagnaia, yes, he won. And he's going to win again. But you'll see a lot of the time, they don't do the double. The percentage of them doing the double would be, I reckon, probably would be 50-50, where I thought it was going to be like 90%, you know?
Yeah, I thought that as well. It was just interesting watching, maybe because I made that note when I was watching the sprint and I found myself looking at my phone. I think you've said this before once, like it never normally happens. Yeah. I was just like, oh, fuck, it's just a bit boring. Should it just be certain tracks? But
you got to remember as well that once we get to closer to the end of the season, it becomes more exciting because the championship's so more exciting as well.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, it's a good point.
Your thoughts on that, Daniel?
No, I agree. I think it's great for the sport. I enjoy it. I shit canned it at the start, to be honest.
I think we all did.
All the traditionales did. Like, but then, yeah, I mean, I think the younger generation or the people just getting into the sport, more racing's better.
I think it's been awesome for the sport, to be honest. It's really good. And I'm excited to hopefully finally see one at Phillip Island as well.
Yeah, sure. We haven't seen one yet. We're still sprint virgins.
And that's going to be an awesome track for a sprint.
Yeah, won't it ever.
Yes, like, it's going to be. Hopefully praying, and we spoke about this with Travis last week, like just give us some normal weather.
Yeah. Everyone hold their breath over the bridge.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll trademark that. So every time you hold your breath, you got to pay us $5. Or subscribe to Patreon. Either one's fine.
We'll do a Motorsport Republica convoy up to the island this year.
Oh, we'll get a flag going, sure.
Yeah, I told Trav we're going to put a flag on top of that bridge.
Yeah.
He didn't respond. He got politician's response.
He's just like, sit down, little boy.
Yes, sir.
Aren't we waving our flag at the end of the race?
Yeah, it is true. Yeah.
That's a good point. Watch out, Massimo Ravolo. I'll stab you in the face again. One time Daniel's ever got angry at me is when I hit him in the flag, hit him in the face of the flag like 6 times in a row.
Freaking hell, man. Bro, come on. We do it.
I'm walking here.
I'm walking here. Bobbity bibbity bobbity boo.
Where's the gabagool?
That was a good afternoon.
Well, it was good.
Oh, that was the best.
Yeah. One photo, yeah. Moto2 results.
Yes, Aigura first. Fermin Aldeguer second. Sergio Garcia third. Jake Dixon. Somkey Chantra. Tony Arbolino, Marcos Ramirez, Alonso Lopez, Manu Gonzalez, and Celestino Vietti round out the top 10.
Do you know what I was terrified about? They're going into the last chicane, last lap, and the commentator's like, oh, Aigura, he's normally pretty calm under pressure and like almost mozzed him. And I was like, what are you talking about? That man will crack under pressure if someone looks at him wrong. Like, he's the least pressurized person ever in the history of the world.
Man, what's going on with Fermin, though? How do you make that mistake again?
He can't handle the pressure either.
But, like, you sign these contracts too early and this happens. Like, it's over the history. It's just...
He was rapid, and he did well to come back and fight for that.
Got to keep your fucking between mistakes. Here, though, isn't it?
What was it, 4 laps in? He had his warning?
Yeah, and a lot of... Yeah, 3 or 4. And one of the team guys was saying from MT Helmets, we knew he was going to do it because all through weekend he kept getting laps deleted.
Exactly. Yeah, I had that written down.
So he didn't even learn from that.
Well, that's...
It's silly. It's immaturity.
Do you reckon there's a clause? I'm not saying this is going to happen, but do you reckon there's a clause in his contract somewhere where he doesn't get a certain result they can revoke on it from Ducati?
Man, people break contracts left, right, and centre these days in motorsport.
What does a contract mean anymore? Yeah, that's all right. What does it mean?
Well, it just means guaranteed money for the rider. I don't think that's... Like, they can pull out of it anyway. Mm. So it's not like it used to be. Like, you know, it used to be you're in a contract. If you're finishing last ever race, you have to abide by the contract.
Yeah, that's right. You've got to stick to it.
But it's different now, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, I would have thought, I think Rossi tried to almost break his contract after a year of Ducati, but he couldn't. Then, you know? No. And that was him. That's only just over 10 years ago.
I think that might have also been, he would have had to sit out a year. I think there was something in that.
Well, remember Repsol Honda had to run three bright bikes because Dobby was contracted, and then they contracted Stoner and Pedrosa. Yeah. Was it Pedrosa all at the same time?
Pedrosa, Stoner, Dobby. Yeah.
So they couldn't break Dobby's contract to get rid of him. They had to run a third bike. Like,
they've done that twice, Repsol Honda.
Yeah, so it wouldn't happen now. Would not happen now.
Well, I just get three people in the gravel trap every weekend. Beautiful. Seriously.
Yeah, no, the marshals don't want that. The marshals don't put any more. We don't really want any more Hondas, all right?
It wasn't a bad race, the Moto2. Some great battles.
It was a great race.
Yeah. Moto2's been awesome.
It did spice things up though when Thurman obviously got his penalty.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I was like jumping out of my chair. Oh, come on, Sergio. And then he almost launched himself into orbit.
Yeah, he did.
He just had no tire. So
smart. He just settled for third though.
They've got the balance with Moto2 really well. I think with tire wear, like you look at Alonso Lopez, like he really is really hard in his tires. And yeah, I think they've got that balance really well with the tire wear. It makes it really exciting.
What happened to Lopez? Where did he finish? Or did he crash? I can't remember.
Eighth.
Yeah, he was up there and then he destroyed his tires.
Yeah,
he keeps doing it.
Yeah, right.
But he was pushing real hard at the start.
Yeah, wasn't he? Yeah, he was aggressive, man.
It was so good to watch.
Yeah.
It was great to see. Feel for Joe Roberts, but what a high... Like, what
I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. Is it Matt?
Yeah,
it was.
It was huge. Yeah, I was actually watching it when it happened, just like by Tino's chance. And I was like, oh, you're kidding. And as soon as he like got up, you could see he was like holding his arm up. And I was like,
yeah, when he's holding that,
and I was like, and you could see he was sort of like drooping down on the side. I was like, yeah, no, that's it. Collarbone's gone.
You broken your collarbone, Daniel?
I have, yeah.
Oh, you'll know all about it.
Yeah, it's not fun, obviously. Not as serious as what these guys are doing it in a different aspect. But yeah, he looked in a bad way and I feel for him, man, because it's really spicing up the championship, but he's still only 23 points behind.
Mm.
So he didn't really lose out that much.
So Garcia is still first, I'm guessing. Correct. With Aigura, I think, reckon second. God, how good.
Yeah, 19 points, I think.
How good.
So that's going to be a good championship. I wouldn't be putting money on Aigura, but...
Oh, Aigura could just need one point and he'll do an Alex Rins and throw himself to the moon. Like, seriously. But I wouldn't put any money on him. No way. Yeah.
It's really spicy out that championship. Moto2, MotoGP, and obviously Moto3 is always going to be close as well. But like, that's going to be fun. And these championships going to the end, they're going to the last race. That's what makes it so exciting.
100%. And it's a stacked field, man. Like, it's so stacked.
There's so many riders in there that can win races.
Yeah, well, that's right. And now you're starting to see the guys from Moto3 starting to make that next step up into the you know, sort of 15 to 10, 8 position.
Guevara's doing that a little bit.
Yeah, he struggled this weekend. He finished 19th. But Dennis Foggia, we can see, he's coming up slowly.
And Senna Aegis was 11th.
Shout out to Pod Favourite. He had a really good race.
A really good race. He was up there the whole race. And as we said, the field is so stacked. He's a rookie year.
And he's doing better than Darren Bindars. He always could do better than teammate. His
MotoGP rider.
He's got a whole lot of experience. Yeah. He's never been to that circuit, so that's really good.
Yeah, it is really
Give
good.
Him a follow on Instagram. Show him some love.
Yeah,
100%. Absolutely. And shout out to it was Barry Baltus with the special event. Yeah. That was sick. The Barry Sheen tribute.
Tom, come on.
It's a Barry Sheen tribute.
Yeah, okay. It was all right.
That's terrible.
And there was a new team on there as well that had the Primark tribute. You see that?
No.
Oh, only the keen insiders would
have seen
that.
I wouldn't know which team because you couldn't tell with the special livery. So.
Oh, speaking about that, that's another thing. They're going to take over the Master Camp side, Primark.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. That's so interesting. Yeah. So is VR46 still going to be a part of it or what?
I would assume not.
Yeah, just be Master Camp. Primark, whatever it is.
Yeah, pretty much. So they're looking to really push through that young talent into Yamaha MotoGP.
Yeah, right.
God, it's interesting. We were talking, 6 months ago about VR46 joining Yamaha, and we never, ever thought the Primark.
Nah, none of this. I never thought any of this would happen.
Because over the years, just Ducati. Been with them for 20 years.
It's crazy, isn't it?
20 years.
Oh, I was actually going to ask
Tony Elias and Sylvain Quintoli was on that bike, I think, for a little bit as well.
I was going to ask you guys, behind Repsol, is that the most iconic livery in MotoGP? MotoGP era, so not 500cc, so forget the cigarette sponsorships. Because I know that's what you've been thinking about.
Fiat Yamaha.
Fiat Yamaha?
Yeah.
Yeah, Fiat Yamaha.
Yeah, that's a good call. It's a great call.
Yeah. Primark. Oh,
Primark's been there for 20 years.
It's been there for a long time, though.
I used to shit on Primark all the time. Like, it was the shittest team ever. But now they're like...
I like the way they go about it. And I like how that Campiotti came out and said, like, this is why we left. And
yeah,
I
love that. Good on him. Yeah.
He's honest. It's really good.
Yeah, he's not holding that big foot. Who's gonna step up to him?
No
Ducati manager.
We were sitting with Travis after the pod, and he actually texted Campiotti.
Yeah, no
and
way.
Said, oh, what's going on? Are you joining with the Yamaha? He didn't reply. How cool is that?
That's so cool.
It would have been too busy sipping aperols or something.
Yeah. He would have replied.
He seems like that type of guy.
Yeah.
That gold chain, old chest.
Yeah, he's and then they've got like the little like Hulk looking fella who's their what's his name? The team.
They've got
manager.
Gino Borsoi,
and there's another guy as well I've never seen in the
Have
paddock.
You seen the other guy in Pramac? He looks like GG Dalinga's like brother, like long lost brother. You're not seeing that guy, the mechanic? We gotta pull that up. See if you can get a photo of him, Kennedy. Type in GG Dalinga lookalike. Pramac. He's got the mono brown and everything.
No way he does not.
He was behind Martin on the starting grid. I'm like, oh my god, like they have to be brothers. He's got the shout out to the big nose club. He's got a big schnoz like myself.
Shout out to the big dick club, man. He's got a big dick like yours, don't you?
I'm inverted. It's chilly in here.
It's freezing in here. It's like a fridge.
You can
leave the salami in here, bro. We have to refrigerate. We're talking
about how's the salami gone?
Yeah, good.
Don't forget about us, huh? Jitch? Hey?
Plenty to go around, mate. And not talking about the ones that are hanging.
Did you go spicy this year or was it?
Always.
Okay. Yeah, I saw there was a bit of chili.
The spicy was hot.
Yeah, I saw there was a lot of chili in the photos.
It was nice.
Yeah, you got to bring some in.
I was there doing quality control, making sure that the operation was running smoothly. So
shout out to Ant and Carla.
Yeah. Shout out to Ant and Carla.
Beautiful.
They smashed it. It was a good day.
Nailed it, Cody. Now it look.
Nah, that's GG.
That is GG.
Type in Pramac, Jorge Martin Pramac mechanics.
Dude, it's gonna be hard to find.
I'll get him on an adventure.
Oh, you got to get him working, actually. He's got to earn that pizza.
Didn't we have a good call about the salami from another pod favourite?
Oh, what was that?
Special Ed?
Yeah, Special Ed.
Was it Special Ed?
Yeah, he's almost... he's up there for number one ticket holder,
actually,
Special Ed.
Special Ed, actually could be number one ticket holder.
Yeah, he's a contender. Yeah. He is.
Really nice guy, too. James and I met him up in Queensland.
Really nice guy.
He's a ripper dude.
Really nice guy. Fuck, he actually sends us so much that I can't find it. Oh, that's the photo when you sent me. Is that Pedro Acosta's missus? Is she jacked?
Yeah, she's really jacked. Really.
She's got a trend head.
Yeah, obviously. Anyway, no comment. We'll talk about that Patreon.
Nah, it just means you've got a big head from taking testosterone. Trend. It makes your head grow bigger.
Trenbuterol, yeah.
Trenbolene?
Trenbolene. You seem to know a lot, bruh.
Don't worry. How do you think I run these Ks, bruh?
Does it grow noses as well?
Yeah, it does. Side effect. I've been taking it since I'm 10 years old. Thanks, bruh. Where's Special Ed? I lost him.
While James looks for that, do you want to run us through some Moto3 results there, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. Ethan Ortola first, Colin Vaya second, David Munoz third, Jose Antonio Rueda fourth, David Alonso fifth, Luca Lunetta sixth, Adrian Fernandez seventh, Angel Piqueras eighth.
Oh, good pronunciation.
Stefano Nepa ninth, and Rusei Yamanaka 10th.
You know what's really impressive about Daniel with the he doesn't have the first name there. He doesn't have the first name there.
Oh, what?
Yeah, it's just D Alonso
L. Oh my god, you do know your stuff. Don't worry about Curdy, it's all good. You're never gonna find it. Like it would be hard to find. You'd have to go back on KO and I would have to like look at it.
Get going, KO going. great race.
Best category in the world.
Yeah, yes. But like
The villain.
I know. How unfortunate. Like home race.
Is Atola Spanish? Is he Spanish or Italian?
No, he's Spanish. Yeah.
But you know what? As we said, we spoke about this before the pod. Unbelievable move. had that.
Oh, dude.
Ortola to know to he covered the inside, yeah. Colin Vire, and he fucking came up the other side, break later. Yeah. Like, it was a crazy move, and to be that controlled in that scenario was.
That was an awesome.
It was a close. That was close to MJ trading cards performance of the week,
yeah,
for me.
It was. If Cheeseburger Banyaya didn't do so well, then yeah.
And credit to Vire, like post race. I don't know if you guys watched the interview. He was like, he said straight out, he's like, "Nah, well done to Ortola. Yeah. That was an amazing."
But he couldn't do anything. It wasn't. It was clean. You know.
Yeah. It was awesome.
It was
racing.
Just great racing.
And that is the best chicane.
Isn't it?
It's so.
It just draws everyone in.
Yeah, how many iconic moments have been
so
there?
Many. Like, only the best have really had those big iconic moments.
Well, I looked at, just going off subject, the 06, Colin Edwards and...
Nicky Hayden.
Like, I thought, oh, God, Colin Edwards is so close. He never won a MotoGP race.
No.
Didn't win one, no. You know? So he was that close to winning.
The Texas Tornado.
I was like...
Good nickname.
I couldn't believe that when I was... Anyway, it was just one of the things
could ride, but he was a gun.
But not to win one race. I mean, like, he's such a name, for me, that's MotoGP, and to never win a race, it just shows you how hard it is.
They were part of the glory days of World Superbikes, where World Superbike riders came into MotoGP and could fight for podiums or win. Mm. You know, like obviously Troy Bayliss won in 06, but they could still go in and
that 06 season, unbelievable season.
Yeah, Hayden and what about the
Bayliss winning in Valencia in the last race as well,
bro? I'll never, ever, ever forget watching this when I was a kid in the lounge room, and I cringed watching it just as a little boy. When Pedrosa took out Nicky Hayden, when Hayden was fighting for the title, and Hayden was like shouting to himself, and like Pedrosa, rookie 2006, takes out his teammate
for the title.
If you can find that, because I've never seen
second last round.
No, I'm just saying for the listeners, you don't have to look it up, but. I keep thinking it's like Sachsenring, but maybe it was like Estoril.
It was real tight, like it championship was.
It's what gave Rossi, I think, that like sniff. 20 point lead or whatever it was. Far out, I remember. But imagine being Pedrosa, like a rookie, and then you've just taken out. Oh, God, it was
crazy.
Rest in peace, the Kentucky kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's favorite. Everyone loved him, didn't they?
Oh, they reckon he was a legend. How's Holgado though? Fading again.
Mm.
He was thereabouts. This is like really shades of what he did last year.
True.
Punched out this great lead in the championship and then.
True.
What is it?
I was going to say,
between
you're
the,
right.
Between the eyes, isn't it?
It's got to be, man. Like, the dude, like, he's a gun. Like, he's a great rider.
I reckon David Alonso's just psyched everyone out as well.
Oh, bro.
And then he took second place at one point. I was like, oh, he's going to catch fire. Yeah. I was like, good luck.
5 laps to go, he gets to the second place. Like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, what they say, cue the Jaws music.
Yeah, yeah.
It was so good.
God, he's a little demon, David Alonso. What do you get, fourth?
Fifth.
Fifth. Mm.
And how's Munoz as well? He just likes punting people off the track.
I love it.
Fun.
There was some hairy moments that back straight. It's that tight left-hander. Oh, my God. Just some coming from the clouds. And
great moves, though.
You have to do that in that category. And
that's what teaches you
got to be.
And, like, you wouldn't see, like, Joel Kelso. He wouldn't make that move. He's just so much more, like, he's probably more calculated. But these little Spanish kids,
Spanish especially, they're the most aggressive.
You know what? I think it's, like, bred for them in, like, their younger category. They must just all just be crazy like that.
Well, and
they're used to it as well.
There's only so many spots that are in Red Bull Rookies Cup and so many spots that are in a Moto3 or a CIV team. Like,
you have to be
you're fighting from a young age.
And you're seeing kids in Moto3, Moto2, MotoGP, like Marc Marquez's or Lorenzo's back. People forget how aggressive Lorenzo was back in the day. You know, like those Spanish kids, they just... Take no prisoners. That's what it is.
That's how it's got to be, right?
You know, and hey, you might be hated for it, but do you really care when you're worth, you got $20 million, 20 million euros coming in a year? You know, do you really care? Of course not.
And that's what sets aside the guys that will ultimately win the championship.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
You know. It's interesting though, going back to like Cheeseburger, pod favorite. He could be pod favorite Cheeseburger. We talk about him a lot. I don't think I just
which
like
Cheeseburger.
Yeah. There's a few of them in there.
Barros, Carmichael, or Lorenzo. Take your pick.
The only real one actually is Carmichael.
Isn't OG is Cheeseburger Carmichael ripping around on it when he was fat on a RM250 on a Supercross track, faster than anyone else in the world. And he was fat.
One for the fat boys.
He was wearing size 36 Fox pants, I reckon.
36. I'm a 30 fucking 8, bruh. We're talking about 36.
Size 30 over here, 22 k's in today. Don't worry about it.
Hates himself, but
oh yeah, you got it. If I don't do it, I am literally on the verge of suicide.
Oh, that's extreme.
We'll speak about this on Saturday night with everyone. Don't worry about it.
So great weekend for MT helmets, though.
Come on, Tom.
So playing with McCord
podium. They got the win in both Moto 3 and Moto 2.
Yeah, great team.
And double podium Moto 2.
Yeah,
first
that's right.
And third. They're doing really, really well.
No,
and first time KDM won at Assen since Miguel Oliveira in like 2015
Step
or
bro.
Something. Something crazy like that.
Crazy.
But yeah, great racing, good all-round weekend.
Yeah.
And back to Vira as well. Like he had that big high side
he did.
Coming out of the chicane and still managed to pop it on the front row.
So. I watched qualifying and... After qualifying, he was walking down the... Like he was so mad that he got third because of that crash. And he was trying to put his bike back together. And the commentator said it like perfectly. He was walking down pit lane. It's like, that's a face of thunder. Like, he was so mad. And they're like, you know, his dad's trying to calm him down. Like, you know, you're on the front row. It's all good. And he just wanted to, like, belt someone.
That's a difference. That's a difference.
Isn't it ever? Like, you're on the front row. But he's just like, nah, I need to be first.
And front row in motorcycle racing is... It's... Probably the best spot. Like it doesn't really matter if you're second or third. Like you're gonna be there or thereabouts.
Yeah, front three. Like you can win from anywhere in Moto 3 anyway.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
But you want to avoid all the chaos.
Yeah.
So especially there, you want to be front two rows for sure.
That's right. Where'd Aussie boys finish? Kelso and Rulston. I think Rulston was 14th. I saw.
Yeah. So Joel 12th and Jacob 14th. 2 points.
Nice.
Yeah. Bit of a struggle, I think, for the boys this weekend.
Yeah, he did pretty well, though. He came from nowhere. I know Jacob did.
Because
he
was
like 20th
or something. Yeah, I saw him. He was 22nd or something.
Yeah. He was towards the back end of it all.
Yeah,
so.
And as long as they're moving forward, that's the main thing.
He's still racking up the points.
Yeah.
Gelso's not normally pretty good up on that front group there or thereabouts.
He nearly got to the front group I was watching. And then he sort of... It's like cycling with the peloton.
Yeah,
it is. Then one of them dropped off and then all three of them dropped off. And it was like race done, you know?
And then Jacob's normally like front of that second group, which for a rookie is really
good
as well.
He's always finishing the front of that second group.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Not far off that front. Anyway, that's Moto 3.
Yeah.
Good weekend in MotoGP and biggest crowd since 95 at Assen.
That's really good.
All right, it's really good. That's actually really good to see. MotoGP is in a really healthy spot. And I'm finding a lot of followers, funny enough, that are following us that you see also just through comments on MotoGP is a lot of younger female fans slowly transitioning through, I reckon, to MotoGP.
They had a couple of messages last night.
Yeah, there's something in that.
You reckon they like Quartararo and his pearl necklace?
Oh, yeah.
They all love Quartararo and his pearl necklace.
Yeah, he's the one, isn't he?
F1, boys.
Yeah, what a race.
Man.
It was actually good, eh?
It was really good.
Yeah, halfway through the race, and I think it got to like the fifth or sixth lap, and I go, they were already in like that tyre I can never say that word.
Conservation.
Conservation mode.
That's the autism, Curdy.
Sorry, Curdy, that's the seed oil. But yeah, I thought, oh geez, I just watched the MotoGP race. It wasn't that exciting. I say, oh, do I really want to sit in there and a half and watch this?
So did you watch it live?
Yeah.
Till what time did it finish?
I finished about 12:30, I think.
Okay, I couldn't stay up.
But yeah,
I stayed up.
Oh, yeah, right. Really interesting race. And yeah, what do you guys think about Max? I mean, that was just some... It's like the Max of old, isn't it?
Is it a racing incident or is it...
No.
Nah, he was moving under braking.
You can't move under braking.
Yeah,
and two
he
moves
did
as well.
He did a couple times.
And I have to admit, I am a big Max fan, as everyone knows on the pod, but it was an old Max, just way too aggressive.
Young Max, wasn't it?
Young Max. Mm. Like, and it was like back in him defending Raikkonen down the straight at Spa, like just those silly moves. And yeah, it was super disappointing in the end. It was exciting, but super disappointing how it finished because Norris had the pace and Norris could have won that race.
He would have won that race.
I think he would have won
and
that
Max
race.
Really didn't need to do that.
It was just silly.
A massive lead in the championship.
It's probably his ego though. Like, you know, he dominated last year. He doesn't want to finish second.
I think it's his home. He sees it as one of his home races and obviously the home for Red Bull.
For Red Bull,
and
yeah.
Red Bull owned the circuit. Like, a lot was on the line for him. He had the pace...
What are they going to say to him? He's brought so much to him already.
Undeniable pace all weekend. He probably felt like he deserved that win. But Yeah, they didn't have a fresh set of mediums for the last stint, and then they fucked the pit stop up.
Yeah, it was like an 8-second pit stop or something.
They messed up. They were really slow on both.
Yeah. So,
but it seems unlike Red Bull.
Seems to be like everything's going wrong now at Red Bull.
A little bit.
It doesn't feel like there's like it's a great team environment to be in.
Yeah, well, Jos Verstappen and Christian Horner again just fighting over the weekend. I mean, it's not good for it's not good for them. And like you see those internal battles, it really affects the team as a whole.
Well, yeah, clearly.
And the results always mask problems.
Mm.
And then when results start going like this, everyone starts talking about the problems again. So 100%. That's just sport in general, yeah? Like
for sure.
In anywhere in the world. So they had some obvious turmoil last year with Christian Horner and what happened, but they were winning every race, so no one cared.
Yeah, that's right.
But yeah, a couple of my points. Hamilton, for me, I mean, after that race, I just felt like...
Did he have an issue?
He did have an issue. Floor damage, 4/10 this lap. That it was affecting him. But yeah,
that's a lot. 4/10 a lap.
It was. Yeah. Well, that's what one of our listeners posted in. I didn't see facts on that. But yeah, it just didn't seem like the old ruthless of old. Like he didn't have a problem in qualifying. Got out qualified.
Mm.
That's the other thing.
Okay.
Like it's just not the same Hamilton we're used to. And he used to be so ruthless. You know, like he couldn't get past Russell, and then Sainz came up to the back of him, passed him easily. And that was before Sainz ran into him and had the damage. So,
is this a question of age though? I don't know if you saw this on our last pod, Daniel. Pod favorite number one ticket holder, possibly Damiano Garopoli, asked a question of would Rossi would still win if he was on a factory Ducati today? Yeah, and even Daniel's rolling.
Yeah, but like it should have been automatically no fucking way. But I can't say anything. Damo cracked it at me, so I can't say anything. My mouth is shut. Damo is sending me abusive messages, and I'm used in a court of law, so I have to refrain myself. And he's gonna be listening right now, guys.
Daniel Brishy is him rolling his eyes about Rossi is a no fucking way. I'm telling you, for an Italian.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
He still reckons podium, I reckon.
Anyway, anyway.
He finished in front of Marquez. It's not hard. Like,
Maverick, always goes
Maverick
back to
did.
It.
I reckon you're giving him too much. You're getting way too easy on that one.
Yeah. Try and bait me in, don't worry. what I was going to say, but what my point was is age always catches up.
Yeah, it does. And yeah, I think...
And maybe
I mean,
that's it.
It's like the other thing, like crossing the white line, going into the pits, getting a 5-second penalty.
Yeah, how silly was that?
I mean, he's never does that. Like, he never would do that in his championship years. Mm. He would always out-qualify a teammate. So, yeah, it's... you know, and then after that penalty, he got on the radio and goes, yeah, it's all good. Sorry about that, guys. Like, usually you'd be like, fucking hell, why did I do that? Like, it's just... I think I really feel like... And even Toto came on the radio and said, come on, Lewis, you can still do well. And, like, it was like they've sort of lost faith. To a certain extent.
He probably just done with the project.
Maybe he's just checked out, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a checking out. So it's, yeah, it's really interesting. The other thing was Fernando Alonso, like, looking nowhere, you know? Like, and it just reminded me back where he was in those Honda years, you know? And just, yeah, it's a couple of...
Oh, gee, that's not good for the sport.
Well, you got a 39-year-old and a 41-year-old, and they're just... Yeah, there's something missing there.
Getting towed, aren't they?
And they're still getting another year on their contract. So, well, obviously, Hamilton's got a couple of years on his the Ferrari contract. So,
well, yeah, he better be full of motivation next year. That's for sure.
Mm.
You could approve yourself with those Italians.
Yeah, 100%.
Hard crowd to win over.
100%. Yeah, they'll eat him alive.
I don't think we did our most disappointment for this week because we've got too much to talk about, but. Perez. Okay. I'll run you through some stats, guys, because this is just insane. Okay. Perez was in front of Piastri on the first lap. Do we all remember that? Yeah. Perez passed Piastri. Okay. Then Perez somehow finishes behind a Haas.
Hey, that had a good weekend.
In the fastest
car.
That had
a great weekend.
I mean, like, Max had an incident, got a puncture, had to drive slowly into the pits, had a 10-second time penalty, and still finished 17 seconds in front of Perez.
Jeez.
17 seconds, James. Sure. 17 seconds.
How does he still get a contract? How did he get that contract?
I don't know. I really don't know. Liam Lawson coming through. Like, he's got a talent. Tsunoda and Ricciardo, if they were performing amazingly, it would be different.
He had a shit weekend as well, didn't he, Tsunoda?
He did, yeah. I think Ricciardo ninth was a good result.
Yeah,
but I think
got points. So, yeah.
I think you got to remember there was two guys got taken out. I think Verstappen still finished fifth in the end, but...
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, It's just I just don't get how he's still racing for that team. And it does show to a certain extent that Red Bull are just probably not the fastest car at the moment in a whole package.
No, McLaren's.
I was going to say the McLaren, yeah.
But even Mercedes have come leaps and bounds.
They have, yeah. And it's pretty good for them with George Russell winning. Gives that team some confidence as well.
Fair play to him. He had to be there.
I looked at that gap. I go, these guys are fighting. And I saw that Russell was 13 seconds behind. I go, he's got a chance here. What my biggest frustration was, the stewards just needed to make a decision.
Yeah, and they were saying that in the broadcast.
I mean, you got two Lando's credit. He kept his head, but he's also running. He was running Verstappen off the road. Mm. Verstappen was moving under braking, moving twice as well, and nothing happened until the incident. So there have to be sometimes like you can't over officiate the race, but you got to make a decision.
Sometimes you've got
to
get on it
because these guys like Verstappen was not letting Norris pass.
No way.
Okay, there was no way he was going to let him pass unless there was going to be penalties. Lando had 4 track limits warning. They still didn't give him a penalty.
Yeah, yeah,
like
right.
It went to and like the stewards. Yeah, like just give him the penalty.
Yeah.
Give him both penalties. Yeah. Let him, you know, just make a decision because everyone was just waiting for it. It was like waiting for rain. You know. Super frustrating.
Yeah, you've been shaved, the stewards.
Yeah, true.
That is, you've been shaved. And Johnny Herbert on the stewards. Oh, he's nowhere. No wonder you're kicked off Sky. Fucking most bloody one-eyed bloody supporter of Lewis Hamilton as well. He was on the stewards this week, and that's why you've been shaved. He's hopeless. Hopeless, Johnny Herbert. Make a decision.
I got to say, though, fair play to Lando. He didn't seem like he wanted to back down.
No, exactly.
He did not seem intimidated by Max or that Red Bull car at all, which is great for the sport.
And it started last week.
We spoke about this last week. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Different mindset.
He's definitely flipped the switch. He's not there to finish second.
Yep.
He's there to win a race. And, yeah, as you said, to his credit, like he's having a real crack. He's putting up. He's doing dive bomb moves, but... It's great for the sport, and that's what you got to do. You have to bully Max Verstappen.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's the only way you're going to beat him because he will just eat you alive. And we always talk about it, but all the greats are the same.
Exactly right. And I think now with that first win off his off his mind.
Mm-hmm. So everything's changed from then.
The mentality switch. And it's great. And everyone's said it, and he's now proven, I think he had already, but he is that much further than Oscar.
In terms of
ability.
Oscar's just a different, he's just a different kettle of fish, different mindset, more of that calculated.
Yeah. He's more calm, calculated, weight.
Second year.
More of an Alain Prost versus Senna.
I was going to say that. Great call.
Yeah. So, and that might, for the future, that might send him in good, in if he has another year under his belt and he's just that calculated driver, like a Jensen Button.
Yep.
You know, not overly aggressive. To a certain extent, Hamilton's like that as well.
Yeah.
Hamilton doesn't really... he's had some incidents over the last probably 3 or 4 years, but he's traditionally really calculated with his moves and stuff.
He'll take his time.
Yeah. And he speaks well like when he's talking to the team guys over the radio as well. He's
always, you're talking about?
Yeah, clear and concise.
So calm.
Yeah, so.
Interestingly, the comments after the race with Lando Norris, he said, like, I'll lose respect for Max if he didn't admit that he was in the wrong.
Mm.
Max sort of had that politician answer in the pen and he was like, yeah, like we'll talk about it after. Like we'll talk about it. He's not saying, he never would say sorry.
No, God.
It's not in Max Verstappen's vocabulary, is sorry. So
there's a famous Michael Schumacher quote. I don't know what it is, but he did something and he just would not say sorry.
Yeah.
Like it was blatantly not his
fault. Yeah. It was, they got a different mindset.
Yeah.
And that's why they're the champion. But it's going to be super exciting this week, this weekend, Silverstone, Lando's home race.
Yeah, I know.
McLaren's home race.
Yeah.
And like it is personally one of my favorite circuits on the calendar for Formula 1.
It's just a great F1 circuit,
isn't
it? Yeah,
it is a great track.
So that's like super exciting. And yeah, we're in for another big doubleheader this weekend.
Really looking forward to it. How was Toto coming out and saying to, what's his name? George Russell. He's like, you're in the lead. He's just race. And he's like, just don't.
Don't talk to me.
Toto came out and said that was the dumbest thing you said on the radio.
And it was under braking.
George
Russell said it. He goes, he was braking for a corner and he would get on the thing. He's like, that was so dumb of me. I'm so sorry. Like, oh my God. He goes, just shut up and let me race. Like,
George, you're leading the race.
What was really exciting for me was that.
That's a good accent.
There was a lot of DRS. So many DRS zones on that track, and it does make it exciting. It really does.
It is a good track for Formula One.
But that's what confused me about Verstappen as well. Like, you could have let Lando through and he could have repassed him.
Yeah. Use it to your advantage,
like,
right?
Like, he had that like straight line speed. So that's the other thing with Max. He just doesn't give an inch, you know? Yeah. Like, it's just crazy. That's not how I would race personally if I was in his position, but that's why he's in his position and I'm not.
It's good to watch though. It makes it a good spectacle. And, you know, I love it. I love seeing aggressive moves, right or wrong.
What was crazy about this weekend, James, and you say talking about the sprint and this was so much racing on, we've never had a MotoGP double header with Formula One and then Formula had a sprint race. So we had four races over the week and we've never had that before. And that's probably where, for me, I didn't watch qualifying for F1.
Yeah.
Didn't have time. I just didn't want to spend an hour of my life watching something that I already sort of know what the result was going to be. That's right. It was a lot of racing.
And for our cycling fans, Latour's on as well.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And they're all racing around Imola at the same time.
They are. And they're racing on the Grand Prix circuit to finish the Tour de France.
And Monaco,
week.
Yeah.
At Monaco, they're going to race around the circuit and then finish in Nice up the road, which is going to be super exciting. So that's two worlds colliding, but you'll see a lot of cyclists in motorsport. Like, it is.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
It
works. Yeah. Watching the Tour de France is awesome. I love it.
Talk about like a nice, easy watching at best. Night, you know. Reels, going through the reels with the tour. Like,
do you call that reels, do you, when you're watching that? Yeah, sure, I'll call it something different.
Brazzers.com.
Tom.chav69@hotmail.com. What's the password, bro?
69.
Only Tom's.
Yeah, I had to make the fake email. 69.
Oh, that's fucking brilliant. That is brilliant.
Also, talking point, the new small gravel traps on the last two corners on the outside of the track. Love them. Such a great idea. It still cost Piastri track limits warning on qualifying, which was super frustrating. But as Martin Brundle was saying on the broadcast, like, it really shows the true driver, because he goes, if he runs wide, he's going to be in the gravel trap. Mm. Yeah, it's not going to be race over. Yeah, he'll get out of that gravel trap. But it really separates the stars from...
Can't make mistakes.
Yeah, it really separates the stars from the Logan Sargeant. So, and it showed, like, the, you know, it really showed the big boys were out to play. So,
their buddy were.
I've just got something up here. Apparently, Checo had a big hole in his side pod, which hindered his race. Mm. It's just come out apparently.
Yeah, they would have drilled a hole or something in there just to make it seem better than what it is.
Well, how does that happen if you're ahead of Piastri in the first lap? And then Piastri finishes second. So what does that tell you? He should have been up there and won the race, you know. So for me, it's he would have had to have an issue, because otherwise you might as well not turn up next year. Seriously,
exactly.
What's the goal of our boy Daniel Ricciardo? Is he staying? Is he leaving?
I wouldn't be surprised if he gets replaced. But then Liam Lawson's talking with other teams now, so maybe he's been told that Ricciardo's signing.
Mm.
Can you really say that Ricciardo is doing a bad job when he's consistently doing as good a job as Tsunoda? And Tsunoda's supposed to be this wonder kid.
What's the point situation? We got the points up?
Give me 2 seconds.
No, you're right.
So, for me, like, he out-qualified, out-raced Tsunoda on the weekend. And they've backed this kid.
Because a lot of people, like, every time we put something up about Ricciardo and Tsunoda, it's like, Ricciardo's absolutely nowhere and Tsunoda's everyone's hero.
I don't get it. I really don't. And it's surprising for me. Like, Tsunoda has not shown me anything that he's going to be a star. And we put something up on Insta and everyone crucifies us how good he's going. Like, he's not showing anything to me that he's going to be a future world champion.
No. He's not lighting it up.
He's not even consistently in the points. I still don't like that. I don't like that. Like, they celebrate just getting points. Oh, we got points.
Well, there's talk that points is going to go down to 20th place for Formula 1.
That's ridiculous.
I know.
When Martin pointless. Brundle said, I don't get why someone who's fifth gets driver of the day. Like, shouldn't it be the first place? They won the driver of the day. Like, Martin Brundle went on like a massive rant about it in like the Chinese Grand Prix.
True. It's a good point.
Yuki's 10th in the championship with 19 points. Danny Rick's 13th with 11.
Mm. They've had a bit of a... There's five teams now, four or five teams that can win. So it's hard for these teams like the AlphaTauri, you know, those back half to get points now.
Okay, but you say that. You're right. But the stars have gone through Vettels. Yeah, Verstappens have gone through those smaller teams and had a breakout result. Yeah, all they need is a breakout result.
Charles Leclerc's a great example. Yeah, he finished seventh. Because it was those top three teams, he finished seventh every single race.
Yeah.
It was the most phenomenal. Like, that is the most underrated season going around from that season from a rookie. He came in and Marcus Ericsson, his teammate, was like 15th, 16th every race. That's where Tsunoda should be.
Mm.
Tsunoda should be that much better than Ricciardo.
Sounds like a second shoving Daniel?
I'm on fucking fire today, aren't I? Yeah. Jeez, not
you've
on fire.
You've been Thomas Shav.
Yeah, Thomas. Thanks, Curdy. Like, you got my birth certificate out. The fucking.
Okay, he's getting you back for the fairy comments.
Yeah, well, yeah, true. Fair enough. I was granted, but, you know, just talking about hobbies and shit, I'm sad. Love you, Kurt.
Yeah, all right, there you go.
Yeah, that's it, I suppose. Hot takes, Jimmy. That's our biggest segment of the year, isn't
it? Sheesh. One more thing. Motocross fans out there, or Supercross, looking, it looks like, it's breaking news, that it will be Jet and Hunter will be taking some kind of part racing in Australia.
That's awesome. We'll have to get our friend of the pod, Mick Sinclair, to chat about that, because that's going to be super exciting for the sport and hopefully bring some eyes and maybe put it on Channel 10, maybe we'll see. Maybe
just put it on
Stan Sport.
Nah, that's right. Put it on someone's phone, something. Yeah, like, seriously.
Yeah, something. Yeah, Channel 31, if that's still around, Friday night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Anyway, they need to do something, but that seems really cool. So we'll have to go to that. That'll be mint.
Yeah, definitely.
That's November this year.
I don't know what all the dates are.
Gotcha. Okay.
Oh, might be a struggle in November.
Oh, well, my
30s. You're going to be at Strada Bianchi.
Yeah, where are you on where are you in November, Daniel?
Might be in the motherland.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe.
Alkmaar?
Maybe.
Oh, is that that then?
Yeah.
Come on, bro. You got to cancel. That's my 30th. Can't go to
the 30. Oh, I can't go to Eichmann for, you know, if it's James' birthday.
Yeah, that's all right. Come on, bro.
Eichmann sounds very north of Italy, doesn't it?
It's Milan.
It's in Milan.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
The fashion capital.
Biggest motorsport trade show. Isn't it, James? Is that what it is? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a pretty big event.
Mm, we might have to come with.
Yeah, let's get the passports ready, boys.
Yeah, true.
We'll get a stand going.
We'll hit up once some MotoGP riders. I want to go to Abu Dhabi and meet number one ticket holder Cheeseburger that keeps promoting Abu Dhabi for some reason. You seen that?
Money talks, brother. Money talks.
With his little...
He's going to come out with veneers and stuff.
Oh, my God. Full tatted up, bald. Bum bag.
When's he punching on with Pedrosa?
Oh, don't even get me started. It was all a fucking... Yeah, it was all fake.
Watch last week's episode and we do a deep dive. So what happened is, like, they just sat in a ring and talked about their rivalry.
It was terrible. It was all fake. It was all just like, it was the biggest like Tyson Fury fight. It was so annoying. Just all.
What do you mean?
Bro, have you seen Tyson Fury's fights? They're all just like hand-picked fighters and they're not real anymore. Boxing is the biggest fraud.
That's boxing. That is boxing.
It's the biggest fraud. That's why UFC's
always been like that.
That's why UFC is so amazing.
Shout out the Chama.
You see pumped in butt.
Hey?
Usyk pumped Fury in that last fight.
Mm. Yeah, well, that was true. Fight. Yeah, well, it's his first loss, isn't it? That's on our next pod, sorry. Boxing Republic.
Yeah.
So I was, hey, it's
Pino,
good to watch.
Get Pino in for that one.
Yeah, Rocky IV's best Pino.
Ivan Drago.
Yeah, Ivan Drago. It's the best
one. It is the best Rocky.
Makes me just want to punch meat. Where the fuck's my hot takes? Sorry, fellas.
Struggle on the phone today, Jim. What's going on?
Yeah, it's so cold in here. I'm like losing blood circulation.
Mm.
All right, hot takes. Favorite segment. Thank you for everyone sending them through. Keep sending them through week in, week out. It's the best thing to talk about and read. It's very funny. Who is Aleix punching first when testing that awful Honda from at Josh John Miller? He's thrown more punches than Cheeseburger already.
Well, yeah,
Alberto Puig, probably.
Yeah. He's got his crash out of the way. Hopefully he'll stay on the bike, man. So is that going to be Valencia? Will he test the bike, or will that be the main riders?
It'll be the main riders. I doubt he'll be testing in Valencia.
What's going to be the bike, though? They'll probably do nothing to it. It'll be the same bike that they have this year.
Probably. I mean,
seriously.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They'll put a new rear fairing on it with no paint, and then they'll test it, and that'll be nothing.
Stefan Bradl will do sweet fuck all, and that's about it.
God, crimey. I mean, seriously. Frustrating.
Yeah, it's dumb.
It's their comp. They're just... They need a whole clear out of the team. They need a whole reset.
And they need a refresh.
Yeah, it's just complacency all around from the manufacturer, from the head office.
We got promised so much more. Like apparently they couldn't get hotels for all these extra engineers that couldn't come in.
Oh my God.
So what are they doing? You know what it is? We've spoken about this. It's the Japanese mentality where they're too scared to speak up with one another. That's why they fly planes in the side of mountains.
Yeah, because a little... Yeah, 100%. It's true.
Watch that air crash investigation.
Your seniority of the... That's how they are, but... Something's got to give, man. Something has to give.
At Adrian_Cran, I think Miller will end up at Pramac, not Grassini.
Well, yeah, I mean,
maybe.
Yeah.
Got that, he's got that relationship.
No, I can't see it, man.
He's got that relationship with Paolo.
Mm.
I don't know. I can't see it.
I think Paolo would rather sign like a top rack, though.
Okay, so where does Miller end up? Does he have a place on the grid?
Well, I think him speaking on the weekend to press, he's confident of having a seat because he goes, we've got a few options available. But realistically, I would like to see him on like...
I would like to see him on a Trackhouse.
Trackhouse is what I was going to say, yeah. I don't know. An American team suits his sort of... At least hopefully he'll get rid of that bloody...
stupid accent.
Accent that he gets. I mean, seriously, if you're with the Americans, he'll be back slinging the Aussie slang, but... Mm.
Is it weird that Mir hasn't re-signed yet? Is there something in that?
No, I think they're just ironing out all the details. From what he says anyway.
Extra health insurance, you reckon? Yeah, all the maybe. Broken bones.
Booper.
Compare the Mir cat.
That's a good one.
At Flamboyant Chippy, Maverick will beat Binder and Bez next year. That's a hot take.
You know why he'll come out and like win the first three races and do nothing else for the rest of the year.
Not even that. He'll give us one good...
2018, man, wasn't it?
Yeah. He'll give us one good race and that's it.
I don't know if he'll beat...
Binder and Bez.
Nah, he can't. Binder and Bez.
Well, I don't know. How good's Bez these days? Seriously. It doesn't take... You've got to finish a race to beat Bez.
Is Chippy telling us...
Flamboyant Chippy, man.
That Acosta will still be ahead of him though? Is that what I read that in?
He doesn't mention anything about Acosta. He just mentions that Maverick will beat Binder and Bez next year.
It's pretty straightforward. It's not hard.
You know what, though? I don't think that's actually a bad call. He'll definitely beat Bez, in my opinion. And what's Binder shown this year? Not much.
Nah, he got a 6, I think, on the weekends.
I really think that's actually not... I actually like that call. I mean, I think Acosta will be out in front by a country mile. I don't mind that call.
So you're being...
Where does Acosta come into play? He's not even in his question.
Wait, who are we comparing to?
There's no Acosta in this question.
No, but we're talking about the four KDM riders.
Maverick will beat Binder on KDM and Bez on the Aprilia.
Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, you are seeing the tism in action.
Sorry. Oh, that was Teflon cookware. I'm so sorry. Oh, let's read.
You know when you like you know when the autism, like they just get hooked on one thing and they can't let it go. That was Thomas Acosta.
Man, that was
bro,
so
there's
bad.
Nothing behind your eyes.
Oh my god! I see why that was. You were looking at me so blatantly. Now I'm thinking Bez is on a fucking KDM. I was so confused. Sorry.
Okay, let me read this again.
I'm so sorry.
At the Flamboyant Chippy, Maverick will beat Binder and Bez next year.
Nah, that's not happening. Oh, no. And then that is also full stop.
Oh, that's hilarious. You're a nightmare. At Bruno MP88, step sis, I'm riding a Yamaha next year, but you can ride me.
Fair game.
So Oliveira to the
Yamaha.
Oh no, yeah. Step bro.
Stuck in the washing machine.
He's done nothing. And like, you know what, your call at the start of the year was probably on it. I do agree now.
No, I'm still not happy about
it. Just
take the Hondas out of it. We'll take the four Hondas out. And he's probably been one of the worst performing.
He's almost stone cold dead last.
While Raul Fernandez was behind, I think, Zarco in race. Or in
he got a top 10 in the main race, though.
Raul Fernandez.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Not Raul Fernandez. Augusto Fernandez was nowhere.
Yeah, true.
Nowhere this weekend.
True. But he is nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't even know if he deserves a factory Yamaha, to be honest.
Miguel.
Yeah.
But a factory Yamaha. Yamaha isn't that amazing though at all anyway.
Factory bike, man.
Yeah, I know. But
it's a big thing.
It is a big thing. And
but he's got a factory bike now.
Factory Aprilia. Mm. Yeah, he's doing nothing on
so
that.
So like, yeah, I mean I'd rather be on a factory Aprilia than a factory Yamaha.
Sure. 100%.
Definitely. Definitely. At Derek Hall, 27 regs are going to cause more boring racing for a few years until development catches up.
That's, I don't know, but that is a scary prospect.
It's too early. It's too early to call.
Yeah. It's hard to say.
I think it
could.
It all depends on aero for me.
Well, they're not changing that much for aero. I know. It's like 50 mil less or something, and like that's
I don't
it.
Know how much that changes though.
Mm.
You know,
I think the other thing is it may improve the Yamahas and the Hondas of the world, which might bring it because closer racing in that
I
point
think
of
they're
view.
Getting rid of ride height as well, yeah. aren't they? Makes a bit of difference on tyre wear.
Yeah.
Mm. At IQ40_potato.
Gosh, James, there's not real names. Are you bots or something? Send
yeah,
these
they're
questions
Russian
in.
Bots. Because you keep signing up our email to questionable websites. Who will get second factory bikes? Who will get the factory bikes, Grassini or VR46?
VR46.
I think we all agree on that, yeah.
I think that's an easy one, isn't it? At Z Lee _, what bikes do you boys ride?
Currently nothing in the garage because I bought an Aprilia. What did I buy? Aprilia what? What was it?
Tuono okay, 1100.
Tuono 1100. And it was scared the absolute fuck out
let's,
of me.
Let's give the listeners, we'll paint the full picture yeah. of this. So Tom, he's ridden a Thumpster in his life when he was a kid. Then we got your WR450 in the Enduro. Did some Enduro riding and a KTM 350. You were good at that. And then it was like, oh, I want a road bike. And I said, just start off small. Just get something, you know, something manageable, MT07, something like that. Just something easy. Already had his full license because you did your did the Enduro riding. Nah. I'll get a Aprilia Tuono. Makes me come with him to Shepparton to pick it up. Ride it back. Stupidest thing ever. At dawn. Dusk.
Yeah.
Down the Hume Highway from Shepparton. Frozen. The coldest I've ever been in my whole entire life. Just for you to ride it twice and be terrified. And he's so good at riding, you got car sick riding it.
Yeah, it was far out. That wasn't my fault. That was a friend of the pod, Daniel Rim from the Colour Cartel. He took me on like the most... It's like taking a 1000cc Ducati to like... country Victoria, but you go in like the little tiny little side streets. You don't go on like the
like
main road.
A go-kart track with like tree stumps through
it. Yeah, it was just the dumbest way to ride the bike. But anyway, it killed me to sell it because I did love the bike, but I just, it was too much power.
That Tuono was so powerful.
It was a nice bike.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was a nice bike. Good great colours and it sounded amazing, but yeah, just not for me. I have been looking at a Vipolin.
Yeah, they're cool.
401, 401, with an 380cc single cylinder motor, which is probably more my style.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't committed to anything yet. And I'm even like, I even sat on a Harley the other day that I sort of liked the feel of. So
I wonder what Harley that was. Didn't know you swung like that. But
it was a, give me some names.
Fat Boy, Street Bob.
No. Tail something.
Oh, soft tail.
Nice. Felt nice. My mate Kane's got a couple of Harleys, so sat on it and
My bug. It's Kane.
But yeah, I don't know. We'll wait and see. I'm not going to commit to anything lately, but I do want to get out on the road again with something because, it is exciting and it'd be great to ride down the island and do a track day and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Daniel, what are you riding these days?
GSX R750 and CBR 600 F4i for the track.
Oh, Mr. Fast Guy.
No, I'm very much Fraud Watch.
Oh, come on, man.
Fraud Watch. Bike only comes out on sunny days.
Yeah, that's all right. But
I do love it. It's a nice
You're a fair
bike.
Weather rider. That's fair enough.
Yeah, exactly. I think you should be in Melbourne, though. It's freezing cold. It sucks.
That is kind of hard thing about being in Melbourne. And yeah, like that's why all these guys live in sunny coast and stuff, because they got 300 days of sun a year.
The best place to ride dirt bikes, though, I reckon. Enduro riding down in Melbourne is
best. I was just about to say, I miss getting out on the dirt.
Yeah, dirt's
trying to organise a weekend soon.
Yeah 100%. What about yourself, James?
I got a Street 777/65 RS, which I never ride, and I probably want to sell it. So if anyone wants to buy a Street 777/65 RS, hit me up on Instagram. And the old girl RM250 two-stroke.
Oh, that's weak. I love that thing.
Yeah. Daniel's cool in it. It's the scariest bike ever.
I mean, Tuono was scary. I'll take your word for it, though.
It is very scary. But, yeah, we went up to Shepparton, and Daniel and I, and got it cheap.
It was literal steel.
Yeah, and I just want to do it up for an old replica, make an old Jeremy McGrath.
It goes pretty hard too. We took it out for a burn one weekend.
Man, it goes hard as, and it starts like first, second kick. I just think it needs like a carby clean or a clutch or something. It needs something, but we'll get there eventually once we have heaps of money and time. But I like looking at it, that's for sure. Old two strokes.
It's a great thing picking up those old bikes and just leave, like keep them, you know?
That's all I like. Yeah. Like my favorite bikes ever, old two-strokes dirt bikes. Really, anything 90s, 2000s and motorcycles, Daniel, I reckon you're probably the same, is our jam.
Yeah, 80s, for me, 80s, 90s sports bikes. Yeah. Twin headlights, ZX7s,
ZX7s, GSXRs. Yeah.
And a big fan of the, like, for me, 999 Ducati is one of my favourite bikes ever. Yeah. I love that. Twin headlight on top of each other. It's very different.
It's very different. It's cool. It's very, very cool. I like it, boys. Luke Miller, special liveries are great and Jack Miller isn't finished yet. So a bit of a jab at you, Tom.
I'll take it.
Any relation to Jack?
Nah.
That's a fraud watch right there. He's got his brother messaging us.
Yeah, he's trying to get back at us. Do any boys watch BSB? Because at Sheffrin_Parker990, BSB is more competitive, not high quality, but more competitive than both MotoGP and World Superbikes.
I don't watch it like fully. Mm. I'll watch reels and highlights and stuff. It is very competitive. It can throw shades of good superbike racing.
Yeah.
I would probably say it's more competitive than World Superbikes.
Is it the best domestic championship in the world?
That and AMA. That's close.
I think BSB is more consistent.
Probably.
Would you say more? AMA went through like a dull stage maybe for 10 years.
They really dropped off. BSB is massive.
It is,
and they got some awesome backing from local sponsors and teams and stuff.
Yeah, it seems like BSB is still in the, like the local shops still support a lot of the teams, which is cool.
Yeah, it is good racing and it is definitely very competitive. Probably something I should watch more of.
Yeah, it's also hard.
But I would say yes. There are more people that can win compared to superbikes.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
And to an extent, like if you take this weekend's race, it's more competitive, but yeah.
No, I like it. I like it. At one of our pod favourites as well, Matt Ould _, Stroll and his daddy are an unbreakable combo, Tom.
Well, it just shows. I mean, the thing is, I talked about this over the weekend. I mean, Stroll does show some things, but he's not. He's only there because of the cash, and that's the difference, you know. Like, yeah, he does show some talent, but yeah, I mean, it's just disappointing because if that Aston Martin gets Adrian Newey for next year and a really competitive car, and they still got him there, like it's disappointing for the whole team, you know.
So is that the word on the street that Adrian Newey might be going to Aston Martin?
That's the word on the street. That's the inside word that the signature has been signed.
Oh wow! Okay, there you go.
That's our inside sources over in Europe.
That's massive. Cool.
Some men on the ground over there. So, all women. We don't know.
Eyes and ears everywhere.
Yeah, 100%. You have to these days.
Yeah, you do. It's like scouts. This is a hot take. At Swainstagram, Mark won't win till he's on a red bike.
I'll answer that question next week, I reckon, because I think he might show some things this weekend and win.
It's not a bad shout. Look, that you can visibly now see, as we touched on earlier, the differences between those two bikes.
I think if there's going to be a win, it's coming in Saxon Ring.
Yeah, I think that's his only chance.
Or if something catastrophic happens,
Martin
up the front
and they take each other out. Yeah.
And he's there to pick up the pieces.
Yeah. What's another big Marquez track?
Well, I think Aragon, I was thinking. But I think Dovi, I remember the battles with him and Dovi over the years. And Dovi had
him and Bagnaia.
Yeah,
him and
Bagnaia.
Oh, Bagnaia on the
Pramac. Yeah, first win.
No, it was on factory Ducati.
Oh, was it?
It was.
My mistake.
Yeah. Then he went on that golden run and took a few
But I'm
wins.
Sure that someone beat Marquez on like a, I thought it was like a Grassini or something. Did Bastian, I don't think Bastianini beat him there, but just from memory on that last corner, but maybe it was Bags on the factory Ducati.
Yeah, it was a couple corners to go.
How long's Bags been on the factory team?
This is his third or fourth now? Fourth year? Third year? It must have been his fourth because he's three times this year. Yeah.
So it must have been Bag's first year on the factory Ducati that happened in Aragon. Because then obviously the next year was when Marquez had his accident in Jerez.
No, it was after the accident, wasn't it? Or was it before the accident? I don't know. It's all too blurry now.
Mm. No, it was after it.
But yeah, he didn't get anywhere near the top two after his accident that year, did he?
I reckon it was after his accident.
Yeah, it was because he was on factory Ducati.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. While Daniel looks that up, at Kyle Holmes _07, World Superbikes should change their whole format to make it like MotoGP?
Nope.
Not a fan, Daniel?
No. It's different. Like, it has to be different.
It does have to be different.
It has to be different.
Tom? He's really...
I like that, I think. It's just too much racing for me. It's just like, I don't know what I'm watching when I turn it on as a half spectator. I just don't get the whole Super Pole.
Would you rather go back to race one on the Saturday, race two on a Sunday and leave it like that and have a Super Pole?
That's how it is now, isn't it?
Oh, no. It was always race one and race two on a Sunday, wasn't it? Sorry, my mistake. Would you rather go back to the Sunday?
No, I like that call. I'd rather be like MotoGP and have a shorter race on the Saturday and a main race on the Sunday. Because then I know I can tune in for the main race. You know, if I want to watch one race for the weekend, I can go and look at the main race.
Do you think, though, that you need more races to then do that? Because they only race 10 times a year or something.
It exposes a bigger thing.
Yeah.
Hopefully with Liberty Media coming through, they expand this World Superbikes calendar.
Well, there was also talks about them having to ditch it and someone else coming into buying World Superbikes.
Oh, then it's gone. It's gone.
So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, right.
But 2021, he moved to Factory Ducati.
Okay, there you go.
Because then he won in his second year.
Yeah. Yeah.
22, 23.
Mm. I like it. Boys, you're at rick.far, your ultimate MotoGP rider, examples of raw skill, mindset, likability, etc. Who is your
build a GP rider?
Yeah.
Mm. So is one, you've got to pick one rider on the grid currently?
I don't
Please
know.
Please be no, I think it's make like build your rider, isn't it?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, build your rider, yeah. Raw skills for me, Marquez. Likeability.
Jesus, not a lot, is there?
I don't know.
There's not a personality that really stands out, probably except for Acosta.
Yeah, like, probably Acosta.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And mindset, Bagnaia
by a long stretch. Yeah. I would agree with your answer, James. Yeah. I'll be the, I'll just agree with that.
What do you think, Daniel?
Likeability, Kevin Schwantz.
Okay.
Let's make our own thing.
Rossi then.
let's kick it old school.
Yeah, I like it.
What were the other things you said?
Raw skill, mindset, likability. Likability is a good one.
Well, that's easily Rossi, surely.
Take Rossi out of it.
Mm. No, we can't use Rossi.
Let's make it difficult.
All right.
Got a lot of rules on this one.
likability, Kevin Schwantz.
Yep.
Raw talent. Marquez, and what was the other one?
Mindset. It's a tough one, huh?
Mick Doohan was pretty ruthless.
Oh, yeah, he was ruthless. I thought you were going to say Mick Doohan. Mick Doohan. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's really good.
Punting Cuvier off in front of his home crowd.
Deserved it.
And lapping it up on the podium. What a G.
Yeah, he was. he was. That was the best.
You have to be like that,
Mick Doohan. Yeah. Far out, you got to love Mick Doohan. Let me go to the other hot takes. Sorry, boys.
Oh, we had comments. We had comments, and we had our actually answered the questions.
I know, it's so good. I'm not going to look at Danby. Sorry, Danby. At Sartha K. Jamunda.
Great. Oh, excellent pronunciation.
If Mark goes from P11 to P4, the whole world goes crazy. If some other rider does it, nobody gives a damn.
That's a good shout.
That's a good shout.
Well, Bastianini did that this weekend, didn't he?
Yep.
It's always just going to be more scrutiny if you mark Marquez.
Yeah. There's more eyes.
He's talked about almost more this weekend than what Bagnaia was for his amazing weekend. Don't you reckon?
Mm.
But in typical fashion, we see it a lot in Formula One too. If you're having a ripper weekend, it's just like, eh.
Well, driver of the day. Let's go back to that. Driver of the day, you could finish eighth.
Mm. Well, Norris got driver of the day for F1, which is interesting.
Didn't even finish race.
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever
heard.
That's
dumb.
Who's voting on this?
The fans.
The fans are fucking retarded.
That's Drive to Survive right there.
As Yuki Tsunoda says, they're retarded.
Yeah, you got a $40,000 fine for that.
It's a $40,000 retard.
Euro, I think Euro fine.
That's pocket change for him, but
I don't know.
That's a couple of restaurants.
He could open his restaurant with that.
Sushi? I want to be sushi chef.
Shitty sushi?
Shitty shitty chicken, shitty beef.
That's Pakey Pokey 15. Max Verstappen is the most talented driver we have ever seen in F1. That's a hot take.
Don't know.
That's just burning. It's Come on, Tom, give us something.
Oh, it's too hard. There's different eras. That's the thing.
Come on, give us. What do you think? Who's the most talented F1 driver of all time? Raw talent.
I don't know.
You're not going to say Senna.
Well, I never saw him race. How can I say that if I've never seen him race? I could say Jim Clark. Jim Clark dominated and died.
I don't like these on the fence answers.
I just,
Daniel,
I can't answer that. Oh yeah, okay, Verstappen for me, yes, but like he's the only one. Hamilton for me, he's surpassed Hamilton 100%.
Over the shoe.
The shoe was amazing, but a different era as well. Like you just don't know. I mean, then
it is hard. I get what you're saying.
Like the Schumacher came in, and you know he was top. Where did he finish in his first race? Spa 1991, I believe. Yeah, I mean, raw talent. When they come in like that and they're fresh and new and they go really well, that's raw talent.
Do you think, this is a hard question, there's more talent? Do you think it takes more talent to drive those cars in the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s and the cars now
100%.
For all these driving abilities? Yeah. So does that take out Verstappen from that conversation?
Well, that's the other thing. The cars are harder to drive back then and they wanted to fucking punch you off.
Mm.
And the other thing, they've got gearboxes. Like you got to, that's a big difference than flappy paddles.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like I was watching a thing during the week and it was like they had 1500 horsepower, no traction control.
Yeah, it's different beast.
It's a different beast. It's like, you know, and the other thing was the fear factor. I mean, they didn't have the safety as they do now. Like how, and because Verstappen knows he can move under braking and do this because if he gets hit, he's fine. Back then, you don't know what was going to go on.
Seventh, he finished in that race. Oh, no, sorry, that was qualifying. Sorry, Tom. I'm doing a Curtis here.
Oh, yeah, I think his engine failed actually.
Yeah, it did. He retired.
Yeah.
Clutch.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he qualified seventh. Yeah. And I think that's what people went wild for.
Yep.
It is hard to say. I have to agree. But geez, you could almost, there's a lot of drivers you could throw into that.
Mm.
But talent's like the raw talent, like we're
geez,
like.
Geez, I'd almost even half consider Kimi.
Oh, geez, that's
you know what? Yeah. There's one in here about Kimi. Let's bring that up.
People forget Prime Kimi was the man. Like, he was hard done by in that car.
Yep.
Before he went to Ferrari.
At NTHNT_423. If Kimi Raikkonen was alongside Schumacher from 2003 onwards at Ferrari, Raikkonen would have beaten him. Perfect segue.
I reckon that's a good shout.
Yeah, Raikkonen, he's an amazing talent. And it was really disappointing. I was looking through statistics the other day. It was really disappointing Raikkonen's backup year in 2008. Massa actually came and nearly won the championship. Raikkonen had a terrible year. So it's interesting. But yeah, you're saying Prime Kimi, unbelievable.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
That car was just a bucket of bolts.
Yeah.
Just kept blowing.
Norris will never win a world championship. He buckles. Same guy. Under pressure consistently. This weekend definitely didn't help this case.
Nah, a shit take.
I think that's a bad call.
Yeah, it's a shit take. He wasn't his fault. He tried everything he possibly could.
I like it. I like it.
I think if he hadn't have had his first win, then maybe, yes, he would have folded under the pressure because, like, I'll take the points, don't want to risk this. Now that he's, like I said, now that it's off his back, I think we'll see a completely different Lando. But Lando's, to say he's not going to be a world champion, that's
Lando
a
still hasn't beaten Verstappen, like, on track because his first win was Verstappen having those issues.
Yeah, of course.
So this was a real telling race this weekend. And I think he had the pace to win. And yeah, and we'll see. I mean, this is what's so exciting about this weekend. I just can't wait.
Mm.
And this actually brings me back to, like, I'm really excited about Formula One again.
That's a good position to the sport.
Five different drivers won a race this year.
Mm. Yeah, it's really good. It's in a good spot.
Yeah.
It really
arguably
is.
More than MotoGP, I would say.
Yeah.
As in five different winners.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Mm.
It's just, it still seems with F1 that it's like, okay, Verstappen's going to win. Everyone's still on that mindset where MotoGP, it's the opposite, but it's probably more Pecco's going to win more than Verstappen these days in a sense.
Yeah.
I mean, all the gap's closing anyway.
Verstappen's won one race of the last four.
Yeah. There you go.
Crazy.
There you go. Number one ticket holder, maybe, at Lachlan.Boyle. Mark has made Ducati implode from the inside out and will ruin them for the next years coming.
Mm.
Yeah, I think that's a good call.
Mm.
Lockie, well done.
I'm really following what you guys have been saying the last couple of weeks about Bastianini. I think he's a huge loss. Because if he can put it together in qualifying, he's got the ability to be a world champion.
He's a rider's rider.
He is, yeah. And so that's going to be – I think that's a bigger loss. Oh, God, is it a bigger loss than Martin? Probably not. But it's a big – two big riders that they've lost. Two young talents.
Two young guys. Different if they're, like, on their way out or they've passed their prime, whatever. But, yeah, they've really messed up their crop.
I'm really interested to we'll be in the back of the pits for Phillip Island this year. Might get some we'll get some true thoughts of these riders, you know.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Asking them some questions off the record, what they really thought of what happened. So,
and then we'll tell our thousands of listeners.
Yeah, exactly. On quote, off quote.
All right, last one to finish us off at Pete's 12. You boys should give yourselves an uppercut for not picking Pecco to win this weekend. That's probably fair enough.
Yeah, fair.
Daniel, what's going on there? No, you know what? I was going to pick him, like, no, I'm going to jinx it. I'm just going to put Martin.
Yeah, we stuffed up there. Sorry to everyone.
Yeah, and look, Marquez never looked a chance all weekend either.
Yeah, I think I'm done picking him. I'm done.
Yeah, he win then.
Yeah, how's everyone having a go at me? Oh, he picked him fourth. Well done, idiots. He finished 10th. And I had Maverick in the top five.
Yeah, well, fraud watch last lap, but should have been better.
Stiff penalty. Half a top, not even a quarter of a tyre. That's a rough call.
It is. That's a stupid rule. There's a few stupid rules going around MotoGP at the moment.
As long as it doesn't cost the championship or ruin a championship.
Well, who knows, with the tyre pressures, that's, you know.
I think they'll probably surely turn a blind eye.
Doubt it.
When it comes to that.
Oh, if they're Spanish, they will.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, apparently it's the Italians now, so you can't keep up anymore.
That's it.
All right, boys.
Cool. Thanks, boys. That's it for today.
Yeah, we'll see you next couple of days.
Yeah.
Something's going on.